Dear friends, loved by Christ, sermon meditation for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Do those words make you tremble in your church shoes like me? They seem to sandwich this text in an overwhelming condition that makes us wonder if we truly love Jesus. While we tremble in that mindset, the devil stands by, grinning, licking his chops, waiting to pounce and devour us. See, for me, he's got this 26-year-long docudrama of my life, of every time that I have obliterated the commands of Jesus. He proudly parades that before my eyes to prove that I must not love Jesus, for look at what I have done. Must have never loved Jesus for a single day, for I've never obeyed him for a single day. And so the devil comes with gut-punching accusation after accusation to prove that we really don't love Jesus or obey him. If we look at those words of Jesus, if you love me, keep my commands, and think that they are the way that we are going to love our way into the faith, that we are somehow going to woo the perfect and eternal God with our obedience, then the devil's accusation has us dead to rights. Because I certainly have no chance of proving anything before God other than my inborn hatred of God and guilt before Jesus. Much less any love, any true obedience, any good standing before God. Devil's got us, if that's how we're thinking of those words. So we have to look very carefully at the context in which those words are spoken, who they were spoken to, and what their purpose was. You might find it surprising to hear that those words were spoken on the evening of Maundy Thursday. Here we sit in the sixth Sunday of Easter. We've been rejoicing in the Lord's victory over death for over 6 weeks now. Yet we meditate on these words of Jesus from Maundy Thursday, because Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is about to happen. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So those words that Jesus spoke, if you love me, keep my commands, they are not spoken in the context of the courtroom where God, the righteous judge, declares sinners guilty or innocent. Those words are spoken in the upper room, in the classroom, if you will, where Jesus is preparing and training and encouraging his disciples, his dear beloved children, for everything that they are about to face. So he addresses them as his children. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. What an understatement that seems to be, as later that night he would be betrayed and the next day he would be tortured and crucified. But now we look again at those words of Jesus and we hear them spoken from the mouth of our Savior. If you love me, you will keep my commands. We see the heart with which our Savior speaks. This is not an angry boss demanding obedience from us. This is not a drill sergeant thundering out threats at us. This is a tender father speaking tenderly to his children, bolstering them in the faith, emboldening their lives for love and obedience. This is the heavenly bridegroom beckoning to his beloved bride to love him and be faithful to him. This obedience and love, which Jesus ultimately asked for, he is the one who gives. In the Apostle John's first letter, he explains just how Jesus has brought us into this relationship. It's not us loving our way into the faith, because Jesus has already gone to the ends of the earth to love us and to bring us into the faith. So John explains how that relationship with our loving God begins. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. So God loves us first. He loves the unlovable and brings us into this relationship with him. And now here is the result. The Apostle John tells us, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God makes the unlovable lovable and then able to love him and to love one another. So this still looks and seems to us like an impossible command, the very same command that Jesus had given his disciples on that Maundy Thursday evening, to love one another as he had loved them. Still, it seems like an impossible command until we realize Jesus isn't leaving us to our own ability to do it. He's not saying, "Look at what I have done for you. Now you better love me and you better start figuring out how to obey." Oh, Jesus promises everything he asks for. He promises us the power and presence and passion of the triune God to enable us to do what he asks. "Keep my commands and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Someone to be with you forever and tell you the truth. Perhaps now more than ever, we feel like we need an advocate. The times have us confused. The distance has us feeling like orphans, like those deprived of the ones who care for us and deprived of those we care for and deprived of the ones that we worship next to and deprived of those that we would normally play with and those that we would graduate with. Times have us feeling like orphans. Yet these are genuine difficulties that we face that make it all the harder to follow Jesus and keep his commands. And yet these difficulties that we are facing are not the tipping point. They're exactly what Jesus was equipping us for when he promised to send us his Holy Spirit. He knew exactly what the disciples would be facing in the next few days as a gory crucifixion would deprive them of their shepherd Savior. This is exactly why he promised to send them a helper, why he promises to send us a helper, an advocate, a comforter, a counselor, to be with us, to be our heavenly helper at every step of the way. This is Jesus' promise to us. It tells us the world cannot accept the Spirit of Truth, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Did you hear that? The Spirit of Truth lives in you and is with you and is not 6 feet apart. Spirit of truth is with you, and you know that he is with you because he points you to Christ, and he comforts you, and he assures you, and he guides you in the way of truth by using his word of truth. Jesus tells you that you know the Spirit is with you. So the circumstances, they might cause us to feel like orphans, but circumstances will never make Jesus into a liar, because he has promised, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, he says. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. You will see me. The world didn't accept Jesus at the beginning, and nor would it accept Jesus or the Spirit that he was sending him. But Jesus tells us, you will see me, and you will see the Spirit revealing me to you. So we come to that famous and loved passage, because I live, you also will live. What a beautiful comfort that is. So often that passage reminds us of the guarantee that we have. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, we too will rise from the dead on the last day. But here's the thing. We don't want to jump all the way to the end and cut off the part from Jesus' resurrection until then. Because Jesus said, I live and you also will live. And he rose from the dead, and he sent them the Holy Spirit to be with them and come upon them with power. And so they would live right then and there. Victorious living starts here and now in this world. And this is why Jesus tells us, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The Father lives in Jesus, and Jesus lives in us, and we live in Jesus. And we already heard before that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Do you know what that means? It means the triune God lives in you. The triune God, God of all heaven and earth, lives in you. Acts chapter 17, the apostle Paul tells us, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by human hands. That makes sense to us. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. The glory of God fills the whole earth, and he doesn't need the best building that we can offer him so he can live in it. To try to grasp the full magnitude of what Jesus promises us next when he says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them, and we will come to them and make our homes with them. That means the triune God lives in you. He doesn't dwell in the best temple that this earth could offer, but he lives in you. That makes you not even close to orphans. That means you have the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. You have the Redeemer of the world. You have the Helper of your soul dwelling in you, making you his temple, being your helper. The triune God lives in you. Now we look again at those words that Jesus began with, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Now we've heard them spoken from our Savior's mouth. We've heard the purpose for which they were given, and we've heard all that Jesus has given us in order to accomplish them. So St. Augustine puts it so beautifully when he prays, give what you command, O Lord, and then command whatever you will. Command whatever you will, because you have given us everything that we possibly need to keep your commands and love and follow you. God has given us his passion and his power and his presence, to follow everything he asked, to follow every last command, even the ones that seem totally impossible to us, even the ones that you struggle with the most. Love me above all. Deny yourself. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Put to death your evil desires. Take up your cross and follow me. Love one another as I have loved you. Do not worry. Be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Live at peace with one another. God has given us his power to follow his commands and love him. He has brought us into this relationship and given us everything we need for life and love with him. So the next time that sin comes crouching at your door, desiring to have you like it took Cain, remember this. The triune God lives in you. Jesus loves you, and you love Jesus, and the triune God is living in you and fighting for you, and that is victorious living here and now. Amen.